Penguin Random House Audio presents Who We Are Now, a novel by Lauren Chamberlain. Read for you by Brittany Presley. To Arvin Amati, who is the best parts of every character I write. Prologue, December 2018. At dusk, the mourners pour out of the chapel, spilling down the steps in a black current. They sweep over the narrow sidewalks of Norfolk Street, unsure of whether to stay, go somewhere and drink, or go home and disappear.
"So many people came," a man comments. "Hundreds. It was nice to see."
"So young, though. It's tragic,"
a woman in a black pillbox hat and a heavy wool coat says, and there are nods and murmurs of assent.
"Who are the organizers?"
the man next to her asks, his breath visible in the air. The weather is uncharacteristically cold for December in New York, the spindly trees frozen in a way that feels apt.
"I want to pay my respects."
The woman points up at the top of the steps, where three figures stand, unmoving, silhouetted in the doorway.
"Them up there. They were all friends in college, I think."
The man nods. He turns and approaches the stairs. But before he can reach them, one of the shadows in the doorway drops to her knees and sobs. It is a distorted, guttural kind of sound, animal and ugly. The man looks away, not wanting to intrude on her grief.
"It could have been any one of us," he thinks.
He is guiltily grateful that it was not. He looks at the stairs one more time, but the figures have disappeared inside. All he can hear is a wailing from behind the shuttered doors. Part 1, 2006 to 2010. Why can't people have what they want? The things were all there to content everybody, yet everybody has the wrong thing. Ford Maddox Ford, the good soldier. June 2006. On the night before the last day, Nate slept until 4 in the afternoon. He woke up to the sound of someone pounding on his bedroom door. The knocks came in quick succession, one clipping the heels of the other. No attempt on the knocker's part to listen and discern if he might be getting out of bed or if he might prefer to be left alone. It had to be Rachel then.
"I'm up,"
he groaned, rolling over carefully in his twin bed to look at the bedside clock. 4:02 p.m. He had a vague recollection of stumbling into his room around dawn. His head throbbed with a steady, painful pulse that seemed to exist separate from the rest of him, with a mind of its own. His Radiohead poster was blurred by his double vision.
"You're not up. You're waiting for me to leave so you can go back to sleep."
Rachel threw open the door and bounded over to his bed. She hopped up and sat squarely on top of the spot where his feet were nestled under the covers.
"Ow!"
"Sorry,"
she pouted, batting her eyelashes. That was all it took. His hangover haze be damned. He grinned at her.
"It's all right,"
he said, rumpling his sweat-matted hair in a way he hoped looked attractive. Despite, or perhaps because of, her utter lack of respect for his personal space, Rachel was undeniably his favorite of his housemates. Not that he would ever have told her that.
"Good, because I'm not really sorry. It's the last night before graduation, and there's no way in hell I'm letting you sleep through it."
"Easy for you to say. You left the party last night by 1. I stayed out until 5.
"I needed to conserve my energy for this."
Rachel made a sweeping gesture indicating her outfit. She was already dressed for a night out. A top, tissue paper thin, like something Nate wanted to unwrap. Flimsy straps, a short black skirt. He had to look elsewhere so he wouldn't stare.
"Can you believe it's the last night we'll all be here? It's so weird."
Nate shook his head, then massaged his aching neck. No, he couldn't believe it. The last night of college? 4 years of midterms and Easy Mac and tapped kegs, and a blur of evenings like the one he had just passed had all culminated in this?
It seemed both too incredible and too ordinary to be believed.
Get dressed. Rachel reached over and smoothed his hair. We need you in the living room at 5.
He glanced at the clock again.
5? I need more time.
But we missed you so much all day.
I don't believe you.
Fine. We want you to drive us to go pick up vodka for the pregame.
Ah, bingo.
Thanks, Nady, Rachel said as she stood up. I'm going to finish getting ready. The last Friday night. Nate leaned back against the wall at the head of his bed, trying to will himself to get up and get in the shower. The last Friday night. Every preceding Friday night for the whole of their senior year had started in pretty much the same way. He and Dev would hang out in their shared room. He was still annoyed the girls had won the battle for the separate bedrooms upstairs. Reading for their Joyce seminar, messing around on the guitar, or napping off the effects of a too wild Thursday night. At some point in the evening, they'd hear the squeak of the stairs, glance up at their sloped ceiling, and wait for the clacking of Rachel's high heels and the stomping of Clarissa's boots as the two of them bounded downstairs. Then the girls would burst into the room, announce the plans for the night, and start needling the boys, making fun of them, dressing them, offering them vodka shots like intrusive collegiate fairy godmothers. It never occurred to Nate or Dev to make any Friday night plans. Every weekend, they waited for the girls to plan their adventures. He would miss that when he moved to New York, he thought. But he decided he had to assume that his real life would work itself out. What was the sense in getting maudlin over the unremarkable end of the 4-year headache of university? Sufficiently galvanized, he heaved himself up off his bed and headed to the shower, towel wrapped around his waist. He ran into Dev in the hallway on the way to the downstairs bathroom. Dev wore sweatpants with no shirt, and he held a slice of cold pizza in one hand. He raised the other to fist bump Nate.
Dude, Dev said. We should have gone home last night when Rachel and Clarissa did. I'm fucking wrecked.
Nate shrugged noncommittally, deciding not to let on how bad he felt. No matter how wrecked he claimed to have been, Dev never seemed to throw up or look hungover or embarrass himself. Nate had been trying to carry off this kind of casually put-together nonchalance ever since he had been assigned to room with Dev freshman year. But by now, it was starting to seem like the kind of thing you were just born with, like height or a fast metabolism, both of which Dev had as well.
We have to rally. Last night of college, Rachel already came in to berate me. Well, after tonight, it's just the first night of our real lives, right? Even better. Maybe.
They padded down the narrow hallway to the kitchen, where Nate stopped in front of the fridge. He found Dev's broad grin energizing, as he often did, but he also needed something with stronger medicinal powers than optimism.
I need a shower beer. Hair of the dog, take the edge off.
Nate popped the can, took a long sip, and exhaled. Dev shook his head and laughed.
Better? Better. What am I going to do without you in New York?
Nate meant this as a jovial sign-off to their conversation, and he started back toward the bathroom. After a shower and a full beer to clear his lingering hangover, he'd be ready to have a genuine conversation. But Dev had other plans, it seemed. He followed Nate out into the hall and toward the bathroom.
Actually, I've got some news.
He raked a hand through his thick black hair, cocking his head.
I think I'm gonna move to New York too. Okay, yeah, you're shitting me.
Nate laughed, assuming this was a typical Dev joke.
Now get out, I have to shower. Rachel thinks we're going to take her to get liquor. I'm serious.
Nate turned back to face him. Is this for real? With Dev, you never knew. He was always threatening to do things like start a band or organize a protest, but then he would abandon the idea as suddenly as he'd taken it up. The rest of them had already determined their post-grad plans. Nate would be an analyst at Lehman Brothers. Rachel had taken an editorial assistant position at New York Magazine. Clarissa planned to stay in Chicago and wait tables or bartend while doing the comedy thing on the side. Dev was the only one who hadn't settled on a plan yet, characteristically laid back even about this most defining decision.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?